Hey, good morning. Okay, so let's see. Since I started, we've been, thank you. You guys get to hear that, hear me drinking. That's weird. Okay, since I started, we've been talking about the benefits of our salvation, and there have been many. So 3 weeks ago, we started talking about forgiveness. We talked about how maybe the primary benefit of our salvation is forgiveness for our sins. And then the following week, we talked about how that gives us permission, the ability, because we've been forgiven, that gives us the permission, the ability to forgive others. And like, I'll just be honest, that was a powerful week for several of you guys. I got a lot of comments, I got a lot of phone calls and text messages and stuff about how good of a sermon that is. And so I didn't mean it like that. About how unnecessary of a topic that is in your life. I'll say it that way. Okay. And so we'll probably revisit that at some time. And then last week we talked about, you know, what if it's God that we're mad at? What if we need to forgive him for, you know, the events of our life and where we've wound up at? And so we're still in forgiveness. And I argued with the Lord a little bit about this because I'll just be honest. I did not want to do the sermon we're about to do. And if we're still in forgiveness next week, me and the Lord are going to have some words. Although I suspect I know how that'll wind up. But we're still in forgiveness again this week. This one is a particularly touchy subject for a lot of people. And this is why I didn't want to do it, because it's such a sensitive topic for a lot of people. But here we go. Church hurt. What if you've been church hurt? How do we find forgiveness with our church hurt? So what we're going to do is we're going to define church hurt. And also, is it really 70? No, it's not. It's 76 in here. These thermostats. Okay. We're going to have, me and Google are going to go around and around in it because it's hot in here. Okay. Anyway, so what is church hurt? So let me read this thing, this article this guy wrote about his church hurt. And I'll just, and we're going to define it this morning. I've been strung along, overworked, and taken advantage of. I've disclosed personal information in confidence and then had it shared broadly. I've had people sow seeds of doubt and mistrust in my marriage. I've been misled, backstabbed, and left to pick up the pieces. I've been devalued, ignored, and publicly made an example of. I've had friendships fall apart and been forced to watch people walk away, and that's just my church hurt. So that's this guy. He was a pastor's son, because actually one of the things... Another sentence, he says, the son of a pastor living life under the steeple since before I was born. I thought that was an interesting way to say that. Church hurt can take a lot of different forms. You know, he mentioned you share something privately with some minister or something like that, and then it gets shared publicly. And, you know, that kind of thing happens. And so we get church hurt for a lot of reasons. We're going to talk about that. And I want you to know, I'm no stranger to this myself. So when I lived in Colorado for Bible college, and then I left Colorado and I moved back home to Kentucky, and I took on a little bitty country church, and like little bitty, okay, it was little bitty, and so you know, like the sanctuary probably was roughly the same size, but it had far fewer people in it. Anyway, we started a youth group there, and I followed a guy who was the youth pastor, and he had died in a tragic tractor accident, if that tells you anything about where we were in the country. And so I followed him, and I came in as a volunteer, and we started to build things up. And this is not about me, this is about the Lord. But we had built quite a pretty good youth group for that size church. In fact, in our Sunday school class, we had more students in our Sunday school class than the rest of the adults did combined. So we had really built quite a youth group there, and I was proud of it. I was proud of the work that we were doing. Shannon, did you go both years to camp with me? Yes, okay. So it's somewhere in there Shannon and I started dating. Although we wouldn't have been dating for the first camp. Yes, yes, we would have. Yeah, because we got engaged shortly thereafter. Yes, okay. All right. Just trying to get the timeline straight in my head. All right. So, in fact, I had the ring prior to... this has nothing to do with my church hurt, but I'll tell this story anyway. So I had bought the ring. So I had the ring, and my church people knew I had the ring, and I was gonna give it to her like a couple of days after church or a couple of days after camp, because her and I never lived in town together. We were engaged, full on engaged, before we ever even lived in the same city. She was living in Arizona and Chicago and things like that. Anyway, all of our relationship, all of it was basically over the phone. Anyway, and so, but I don't remember what happened. I did not engage her before Sunday morning. And so, but several people knew I had the ring, so they went over to her like, oh, let me see your hand. Let me see the, did anybody actually ask you to see the ring? Nobody actually asked you to see the ring, did they? They did? Okay, so people, yeah. So they messed it all up. They messed it all up. It wasn't like it was this big surprise anyway. She knew it was coming, but still it was just the church. I think it was actually the pastor of the church. He's the one that actually asked that, isn't he? Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So that has nothing to do with any of the rest of this stuff. Okay. So we got engaged after the first one, and we were married for the second one. Anyway, the second one we took several students to camp, just like I took them to the exact same camp I took you guys, Crossings, So we had the same rules, no cell phones, or, you know, at least keep them at bay. Of course, that was 05, so it wasn't as big of a deal, but or maybe 06, something like that. And then you can't be late. Wherever we're going, don't be late. And no guys and girls rooms, and no girls and guys rooms. That last rule just messed them up, because we had two dating couples on this trip, and they got so mad about that rule, that it was so unfair that you can't be in, you know, and like that seems like basic stuff to me, but they were so mad about it. And even Shannon and I were married, and so during the day they have activities, we don't have activities. Like that's, they sort of do a thing to help the youth pastors recoup some time, and so they give you sort of the mornings off, if you will. And so Shannon and I would be in each other's rooms with our other leaders playing cards and stuff like that, and that just made them so mad. But it, like, we were married, number one, so we could be, anyway, I'm not going to argue with you guys about it, but the point is, and they wrecked that ministry. Their mouths wrecked that ministry. And so, like, that week of camp was just destroyed by their behavior. And so we actually caught them the girls were inside changing, and then the boys were both standing at the door looking in. And so I called my pastor, and I was like, look, I got to send a couple of these kids home. I have to. They've broken these rules. They got to go home. And he wouldn't let me send kids home. He didn't want to rock the boat, as it were. And I had no pastoral support and very little parent support. And that just ruined my trust in my leadership. And the students then couldn't follow me, because now I couldn't back up my word. If you got to go home, if you break the rules. And so anyway, it ruined the ministry, and they cooked us. And so, I don't know, it may have been 3 weeks after camp, the deacons called me in and fired me. But I would have been quitting if they hadn't fired me, because it was time to go. It was time to go. The ministry was ruined. And so Shannon and I were hurt. I mean, we love those kids deeply. And so finally we decided, okay, we'll just take a year off of ministry. And that's actually, we moved to Indiana during that time. We said we live in Indiana for a year, and then we'll go wherever God calls us. And I guess he was calling us here, because here we are. Because we thought we might live here for a year and then move off to Colorado or something, because that's kind of where we wanted to be. Anyway, but we're here, and it's awesome, and we love it. All right. Now, so the point is, I understand what it is to be cooked by a pastor. I understand what it is to be hurt by church folks. I understand. And so I don't approach this lightly, because I know, like, some of you guys are really dealing with this. Now, I suspect if you're too church hurt, then you're not here like maybe you're just watching us on Facebook or whatever, and you're just scrolling and you just happen to catch us. If that's the case, then hang on, because I'm gonna help you out. But if you've got church hurt with past churches or whatever, that's what we're going to work on. So what all is church hurt? Abuse by a clergy or a minister, right, or church people. So abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, all of these things happen in our churches today. All of these things happen. What is spiritual abuse? Being manipulated by a leader using the word. So, like, I was looking for Sunday school teachers to teach our Sunday school classes. And so I talked to a few of you about it or whatever. Hey, you want to teach a Sunday school class? No, I don't want to teach a Sunday school class. So the manipulating leader then would say, you know, if you don't teach this class, people are going to go to hell. And they put this onus on you. If you don't obey me, if you don't follow me, if you don't do this, then the consequences will be dire and it'll be your fault. Now, I can't promise I won't ever do that, but I really hate that behavior. So I don't think you'll ever catch that from me, but it happens. Okay? Because if you don't want to teach a Sunday school class, I don't want you teaching it because you're not going to do any good. There's manipulating you to do it is a waste of my time because then it'd just be a bad class. So, but it happens, and it's happened to people in this room. It just has. Church hurt has happened to people in this room. What else? A loss of trust in your church or the leader because of a moral failing. So we see this all the time. Another big name guy just dropped a few weeks ago. I mean, we see this all the time, in the, not just in the Catholic Church, but in our Protestant churches. You know, like the only scandal free big time pastor I can think of is Billy Graham. Everybody else had some sort of, you know, they cheated on their taxes, they cheated on their wife. And I think what happens is these guys, they get so big and they forget their daily time with Jesus is what matters. And so just loss of trust in your leader because they had some big moral failing. They did some type of cheating. They did some type of whatever, or go to jail for DUI, that sort of thing. So anyway, but not going to jail for failure to appear, that doesn't count. Okay. Gene liked that one. That wasn't in my practice sermon. That just came out just now. Okay, all right. Or here's more church hurt. Being judged by the church or the church people, especially in a sense where you feel like these are, you know, you've been invested in this church long enough to feel like you are loved by the same group of people. And then what happens is then you fall off into some sin that's big sin or has big consequences and then you feel like the people around you are judging you and you feel like you can't. And so then now you feel like you're being judged and you just can't worship here. You can't concentrate here because you feel like if you raise your hands and worship, then everybody's going to think that you're faking it because you're this sinner and everybody knows your sin. And look, it happens. It happens. In my last church, we had some infidelity happen, and both members of that particular marriage really struggled with our church for a long time. They felt judged by our people. And it's not, you know, it's not just that. But that's part of it. I mean, that's part of it. Feeling judged by your fellow church members. This is supposed to be a safe place, right? You're supposed to be allowed to come here and bring your sin. This is supposed to be a place where you can say, man, I really messed this up. And people say, yeah, I messed it up too. Because newsflash, you're all terrible people. I mean, like, we're all terrible people. And so we all sin. And so maybe one sin carries more consequences, but I don't really see how it's, you know, this guy's sin is here and this guy's sin is here. It's all, you know, it all carries different consequences, but it's not all, it all separates you from the Lord. And it's all underneath the blood. So don't judge people. But okay, we'll get there in a minute. Okay. Not everybody here is here with pure motives. Okay? Like in this room, there's 100 people in here. Some of you were dragged here. Some of you were told by your parents you have to come. Some of you came because you're just checking off a religion box. Like, oh, if I go, then the Lord will be okay with me. You know, look, Lord, I'm doing it. I'm going to church. I'm checking off my box. But there's no real relationship here, right? There's no real relationship in your heart. You don't really want to be here. You're just here. Look, in a room of 100 people, some of you don't want to be here. You were told, or you're being forced to come, or whatever. Or you're here under some sort of guilt trip or emotional manipulation by somebody in your life. And so when you have a group of people like that, then we can't all trust each other always because we're going to hurt each other. Man, I hate, this is why I didn't want to do this, because I didn't want to say that to you guys, but it's true. It's true. Some of us don't want to be here. And so it makes it harder to really invest in the people if they're not really invested in you. Okay. Now, enough of that. Here's something church hurt is not, okay? I feel like I need to cover this too. Church hurt is not being lovingly confronted about your sin and then you get mad at it, okay? So you've got some sin in your life. Somebody lovingly says, I see this in your life, which they're allowed to do. We're going to go over that here in a minute. That I see this in your life, and then you get mad at them and say, you can't talk to me in any such a way, and then you get mad and leave the church. That's not church hurt. If it was done lovingly and appropriately, like, okay, if somebody puts their finger in your face out here in the foyer about your sin, that's bad. That's a bad way to confront. But we're allowed to confront each other. We're supposed to, okay? But if you're mad at somebody at some other church because they lovingly confronted your sin and you said, well, I'm out of here, then you're mad at the Bible, you're mad at the Lord, you're not mad at that person. You're placing your anger on that person, but your actual anger is at your own selfishness. So, I hate to say that, but that's not church hurt. So if you're like, I got lots of church hurt in my life because everybody's always, like, if this is real sin and they're confronting it in a loving way, then that's on you. Whew. See why I didn't want to do this? Okay. Regardless of what our church hurt is, the principles of forgiveness are going to be basically the same as what we talked about 2 weeks ago. So now we're going to do some review over some of the stuff that we read a couple of weeks ago. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. So, just like we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago, forgiveness is a process. It's not just a one-time thing. Sometimes it can be a one-time thing. Sometimes you can, you know, this person who hurt you, I can let that go. And you can forgive, and it can disappear forever. That can happen. But oftentimes, if it's a big thing, if it's a big hurt, right, which absolutely happens in the church, it absolutely happens. If it's a big hurt, it often takes time after time after time after time after time to forgive. And a lot of that work, most of that work, is all done up here. Okay? So it's not that you let somebody hurt you 490 times. It's just that they come up in your brain 490 times, and 490 times you have to continue to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Let's look at the next scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Again, I read this to you guys a couple weeks ago. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. The Lord tells us here to change your brain. Okay? So if you wake up in the morning and your first thought is about your anger at the person who hurt you, the pastor that hurt you, the guy or the gal who hurt you, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, your whoever it is in your life, if you wake up in the morning and that's your thought, or whenever you're alone, that's what creeps up into your brain is thoughts of whoever it is that hurts you, then you need to begin to forgive and change the way you think. Because look at this, look at the next scripture. Romans chapter 12 This is wonderful. This is a wonderful scripture. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So if you wake up in the morning and your thoughts are all at the anger, your thoughts are all at the frustration, the thoughts are all on how your life didn't work out the way you wanted it to, if that's what your brain is doing, or anytime you're alone, that's what your brain is doing, then if you want freedom from that, you got to catch it up here. You got to let it go up here. Look, in Philippians, think about things that are excellent. Let's read it again. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Is your anger towards that person, is it excellent and worthy of praise? Is it true or honorable or right or pure or lovely? No, it's none of those things. You have to change the way that you think. That's the win here. That's the goal here. Because by changing the way you think, don't copy the behavior, Romans 12:2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you, transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And this is not just for forgiveness. This scripture here works for all your sins. Like all the stuff that all your hang-ups, like, right? You can't get caught in adultery if you refuse to think about what it would be like to be with another woman. You're not just going to wake up and go cheat on your wife. No, it started in your mind years and years and years ago, or months and months and months ago. That's how it happens. So this works for all of your sin. All your yuckiness can be changed by letting the Lord transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And so if you want over your church hurt, if you want to let this go, then change the way you think. Change the way you think. Let go of the past. And when I say let go, I mean stop giving it space in your brain. Because that's what we do. We wake up, we get alone, whatever it is, and this is the thing at the top of our head, and we dwell on it, and we stay there, and we stay there, and we stay there. And no freedom is ever found by dwelling on your sin or dwelling in the negative. Just, there's no freedom there. Okay. Now, another thing, I'll just review this quickly. Forgive and forget. That phrase is not in the Bible. It's not in here. So I can't point to a scripture and stuff and say, but it's a powerful thing. If you can forget, if you can just forget what happened, then there's freedom there. Okay? So if you're, you know, like I told you, I was a sinner. I was. And I asked the Lord to erase my mind of all of the yucky stuff I used to invest in, right? And so now that stuff doesn't creep up and bother me anymore. And so how freeing would it be to see that pastor or that church person or whoever it is that hurt you, to see them at Walmart or whatever, and then not freak out, not have all that stuff come rising back up in you? How freeing would it be if that were the case? That would be wonderful. Right? And you can accomplish that by just simply asking the Lord, help me forget. Lord, erase my memory of that person and the sins they committed against me. Just forget. And I mean, like I say that, like it's easy. It took years for me of praying and asking the Lord to erase my memory of that stuff. But it was worth it, because now I walk in freedom in a lot of ways that I didn't before. And then here's one final thing for that part. Pray for the person that hurt you. It is really, really hard to stay angry at a person whom you're praying for God's blessings for. Like, somebody hurt you or whatever, they said something to you sideways, whatever, and then you, or hurt you deeply. If you begin to pray blessings for that person, pray God's faith and love for that person, that will change your heart. Because now you're going to the creator of the universe and you're saying, God, I pray that you would help this person have a better life. God, I pray that you would protect other people from their cynicism, protect other people from their, and God, I pray that you would help change them from the inside. God, send more Christians along their path. Like, God, come alongside that person and help them to be lifted up towards you, to know you better, to love you more, and so on and so forth. If you're praying for those things, then it will change you. It will change you by praying for somebody else. Oh boy, my timer's already turned red. Okay, so here we go. We'll keep moving on. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to stop more church hurt from happening. So let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. You'll be treated as you treat others. The standard that you use in judging is the standard by which you'll be judged. Why worry about a speck in your own friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Okay, now, this is it. Don't judge unless you be judged. Now, this does not say you're not allowed to see fault in other people. You're allowed to see the speck in somebody else's eye. We're going to cover that again here. There's another scripture just a few scriptures down from this. You're allowed to see the speck in somebody's eye. Okay? You can see that. What this is saying is don't go in self-righteous. Okay? You judge yourself with a ruler, but you judge everybody else with a yardstick. And so it's not the same measurement. You give yourself so much more latitude. Well, my sin's not really that bad because I'm not really hurting anybody with my sin the way I do it. It's not really that big of a deal. But I can see what they're doing. It's big and it's vicious. And so you're measuring people. You know, you're saying their sins are up here, but really my sins are down here. Don't go in like that because then you're the guy with the log in the eye. The Lord is not saying you can't see sin in other people's life. That's not what the Lord's saying is. He's saying, don't go in self-righteous. Don't go in using your rules to judge somebody. Go in using these rules to judge somebody. All right? Let's look. It's going to stay in the same chapter, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. So you're allowed to see fruit in other people's lives or other things. Let's look at, so what is the fruits? What is the fruits of the Spirit? You've got it. I don't have a tab for it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. You can see that in other people's lives. If you look... Shannon, how easy is it to go backwards a few verses up to the... Never mind, I'll just flip to it. It doesn't matter. Go eat popcorn. Some of you guys recognize that. Okay. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But look at this other list. You can see sexual immorality. This is Galatians 5. 19, sexual immorality. You can see impurities, lustful pleasures. You can see idolatry and sorcery and hostility and quarreling and jealousy and outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness. You can see these things in people's lives, and you're allowed to see these things in people's lives. And you're allowed to talk to them about it. You just have to do it with love. Okay? And if somebody comes to you and they say, I see jealousy, I see selfish ambition in your life, and they do it with love, then you need to check yourself. Don't just automatically say, well, yeah, but I see this in your life, right? That's not what's happening here. This is not about them. This moment is about you and what God is doing in your life. So you're allowed to see these things in somebody's life. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't tell us to watch for them. Okay, now, I think also what we need to do is not give up on church. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Peter said, Lord, to whom would we go? you know, because everybody was deserting Jesus. They were leaving it. And so Jesus turned to Peter and he's like, or turned to his disciples and was like, are you guys leaving too? And Peter was like, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So if your church hurt, where else are you going to go? There's nowhere else to turn but to turn to him. And the Bible here clearly gives us the instructions. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The Lord wants you to continue to go to church. Now, let me say this. If you're here this morning because your church hurt from another church, then I really think you should search your heart and decide if this is where you belong. If you left there because you're mad at them, then you need to find forgiveness in your heart for that person. And maybe it's not safe to go back there, and that's fine. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you need to, if you're here because you're mad, then you need to get that anger worked out in yourself and then ask the Holy Spirit, where do I belong? And like, I've been on the job now since May, and it's hard to say that to you guys, but it's the truth. I don't want you to be here because you're mad at somebody else, right? I want you to be here because this is where the Lord has called you. Now, I think the Lord has called everybody here, but I'm not always right. And if your church hurt with us, then you need to talk to us. If we have, you know, if there's frustration from, like, I'm not sitting on that side of the church because that's where they sit. Like, if there's that, then we need to come together, right? You need to go and make that right with them. Matthew chapter 18, I think, is, if another, I don't know if I marked this for you or not, Shannon. If another believer sins against you, this is Matthew 18, 15. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the person listens and confesses, you have won that person back. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If a person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person like a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. You're allowed to talk to people about the sin in their life. You're allowed to talk to people about the hurt that you have experienced because of their behavior. You're allowed to do that. It's commanded here in the Word. You're meant to do it in a certain way. You're not meant to start shouting them down in the foyer. You're not meant to call them and cuss them. That's not. But go and privately and talk and point out the offense, and hopefully they will listen and confess. I love you guys. I mean, I really, really do. I pray for you guys a lot, and I know that this church hurt thing is a big deal. I know that a lot of you are holding on to some sort of frustration from some other church. And so, I want you to get it right. I want you to get it right. And if this is not the place, then I want you to find the place. But your freedom can be found here this morning for certain. Let's do the thing. We're going to do an altar call. We're going to sing a song or half a song or however it works out. And first off, during this time, I want you to spend it worshiping Jesus, right? That's number one. I want you to worship Jesus. While we sing this song, it's not just for show. It's not, I'm begging you to come up here. It's not that. I want you to spend this moment with Jesus because he's powerful and he's big and he loves you greater than the hurt in your life. If you need to come up here, you're welcome to come up here, and I will pray for you, and we'll worship God together, and we'll give this over to Jesus. Because if you're carrying this around, it's just like dragging chains everywhere you go. Stop dragging these chains. Let them go. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to sing. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. And we thank you for being our God. We thank you that you offer us forgiveness. We thank you that you offer us grace. We thank you that despite what's happened in our past, God, you can wipe the slate clean. And God, we can invest in you. We can worship you. We can love you. We can walk in freedom with you. God, I pray over the next few moments as we sing this song here, Lord, that first and foremost we would worship you, God, and secondly we would give this stuff over to you. Not just our hurts and pains, but God, all of our sin. God, that we would take this moment and give it all to you. You're the only hope we have at living a free life. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.